Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Well, have you enjoyed yesterday evening and this morning? This morning it was so hot in this church, that should have been a motivation not to go to hell. Amen? So, and who of you are expecting for tonight what God wants to do? And by the way, everybody online, welcome to all of our friends, family, my partners, all our members online on YouTube and Facebook and Church Online. And I was thinking about it this morning, you know, we have Impact Radio that we also do, and I was thinking that this morning we actually only have 40 minutes on Impact Radio, but I don't think we've ever kept that, like, ever. I think we just give the guys like an introduction and then that's it. Amen. But let it be so. Let Empower Church be known for the introductions. How can we say? So I whoever you're excited, I wanted to just to not steal from this night. I believe the Lord wants to minister to you, and we can always worship tomorrow again and the night after that and however. But I felt to minister the word of the Lord and then get into the prophetic. And so as you guys are, good evening guys, and I just want to give the online people some love. I don't want them to feel rejected, amen, because many of our partners are from all over. And why don't you give them in the house just a God bless you for everybody that's online. Isn't it amazing that right now we have the awesome privilege to reach the globe with the gospel? Isn't that amazing that you, you know, I don't know what the statistics is right now, but that through technology, who of you know that God owns the air? So he literally owns it, and that's why the devil wants it, and that's why Satan calls himself the prince and the power of the air, because that's what God has. It belongs to him, and that's what Satan wants. But anyway, but who of you know that there's no time and space for God? So whether you're sitting on your couch with your pajamas watching me right now, and you know, because most likely you're not properly dressed, and that's all good. But tonight's going to be a good night. Oh, there's not a lot of faith in the house. Tonight's going to be a good night. And as you guys are online, won't you share the gospel with us? Take a moment and share. You know, I cannot be more proud for Empower Church. You know, last night we were 250, and this morning as well. Let's say it like that. And this evening again, and that's good. You know, and I'm so grateful. I'm just grateful people are hungry for God. Just grateful. Amen. Come on, give yourself a God bless you. It's never how you start, it's how you finish the race. You will never be known for how you've started, it's how you finish. And so tonight I want to speak to you about how to restore the gift that is inside of you. How to restore the gift that is inside of you. And can someone just come and get this? How can you restore the gift that is inside of you? And won't you turn with me to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Who of you know that you have gifts, you get gifts, and you can become a gift? I want to throw everything at you tonight. So who of you know, again, I say again, you have gifts, you can become a gift, and you can grow in all the dimensions. And I want you to know that I want to shake a little bit of theology tonight, and want to introduce you back to the fire. Is that okay? So let me just read scripture just for a moment, and then we're going to go into teaching, preaching, slash the prophetic. So 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 3. I thank God, whom I serve with my pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, I want you to see the word genuine. The word genuine there means to be proven, to be proved by fire that is in you, which first tabernacled, the word dwelt, which first tabernacled. I want you to see a word tabernacles in your grandmother Lewis and in your mother Eunice, and I'm now persuaded is in you also. In other words, the word first tabernacled with the grandmother. Then because a mom came and she was faithful, the word dwell and tabernacled of her. And then Timothy came onto the scene and the word tabernacled of him. I want you to see that every and any word is always generational. So just keep that in mind. So when God calls you, He has your children in mind. God is always 3-4 generations. If I can stretch you heavily, God thinks 1,000 generations at a time. But when He calls a man, He always calls 3-4 generations. Are you okay? So as you're going to say later yes to God, you are saying yes for a generation. Oh, come on. You are saying yes for your children's children. Oh, come on. Are you with me? So when you have to understand, it's a generational yes. So the giants that you will fight, or let me rather say this, the ways that you say yes to God, your children will not need to say yes to Him. They can walk in your victories. Okay? Can we go a little bit deeper? Therefore, I like the word therefore. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. I want you to see there that Timothy carried a gift. And I want to speak to you just tonight very, very simply about to be a gift, to have a gift, and how to get your gift back into the fire. And I don't want to repeat myself, but I want you to understand that for your gift to function, it has to be in the fire. And there's 7 fires in the Bible. Do you know that? There's 7 fires. And for you to ultimately be you, you have to put you back in the fire. Everything inside of you are made to shine. Oh, let me, that sounds weird. But everything inside of you, you are produced to be a light. Oh, guys, online, help me. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, the Bible says. So if I am the light and if I am the salt, there is purpose to my seasoning or my salting, and there's purpose to my light. Oh, come on, are you there? And so, I want you to understand, when God calls a man, or when He calls a woman, when He calls a human being, let me rather state it like that, when he calls a man, when He calls a woman, He has a whole generation in mind. And I want you to understand something, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we all need, which is a part of Christ, all of those things are attributes, ultimately, of who Jesus is. Everybody understand? But you get gifts, and then you get people that have, you get gifts to the body of Christ, and then you get gifts that carry gifts. Now let me explain. Jesus was the ultimate gift to the world. And one thing about a gift is this: you don't need to do nothing to get a gift. Your gift is given to you based on the value God has for you. When you receive a gift, God equals, the size of your gift equals the favor heaven has bestowed upon you. Are you with me? That is why you can never brag about the gift. You should brag about the giver of the gift. Come on, are you with me? But I want you to understand something. God doesn't like it when you neglect the gift. And there's 3 things that steals the gift from you. Spirit of fear, lack of love, and the power of intimidation. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that is inside of you. And so I say again, you can be a gift. There is 5 gifts to the body of Christ: apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor. All these 5 are gifts. There are gifts given to the body of Christ, and then these gifts carry gifts. Every single person in the body of Christ has a gift or gifts, plural. Are you with me? And when you don't put your gift into the fire, what happens is somebody else will need to take up their gift and do more what they are supposed to do. Let me rather say it like this. The reason why we're seeing so many multifaceted gifts right now in the body of Christ is, and it's funny that everybody wants to be a certain gift. No, be who you God has called you to be. Don't be this and don't be that. No, it's not needed. You just need to understand your gift. If you can shine in your gift, that's all He wants. Are you guys are there? And so when we look at this word gift, I want you to understand something. That as you sit here, you have the ability to quench the spirit inside of you. Everybody online, are you guys with me? You have the ability to quench the fire of the Holy Ghost. God can, listen, this is what God does. Are you guys taking notes? Everybody online, I'm checking as the guys are taking notes. There's seven fires. Again, there's seven fires. Seven fuels, seven fires. I want you to understand this because for a fire to burn, it has to have two things. It needs to have light or oxygen, and it needs to have fuel. That's it. And right about now, many people in the body of Christ, their fires are dwindling. But be of good cheer, you can put your gift back into the fire. And by the way, when Paul wrote to Timothy this statement of 2 Timothy 1 verse number 7, you have not received the spirit of fear, but of one, love and power of a sound mind. Timothy was a pastor of one of the biggest churches of Ephesus, about 100,000 people. And at that time, when Paul wrote 1 Timothy, Timothy was a pastor of 100,000 people. When he wrote 2 Timothy, the church was declining at the same rate what it was growing. And Timothy had some weird people that he had to deal with. The Ephesians were wicked people. And that's why we find the book of Ephesians, which is the spiritual warfare book. But I want to just let you see something here tonight. Is that okay? I want you to see that you can quench the fire of God in your own life. And I quickly want to go here to... there's something about a fire that I want you to understand. A fire cannot be completely... The thing about a fire, there is certain attributes of a fire. And this is the thing about a fire. A fire just needs to have, as I say again, it needs to have oxygen and it has to have fuel. And I want to give you the seven fuels quickly before I get into the prophetic side of it. And if you are taking notes, yes, very quickly. The first fuel you have and the first thing that to put your gift back into the fire is this, is the word of the Lord. And I want to just say this before I say the word of God. I already said it, but... For the word of God to be in your life, you have to understand when God speaks to you, God is a spirit, and when He speaks to you, He speaks to your spirit. Okay, you are a tripart being. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Or you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. So when God gives you a gift, He doesn't dispose the gift into the soul, He disposes the gift into the spirit. But when you receive the gift in the spirit, it's the Holy Spirit's job with you to work out your salvation so that the gift can mature. Oh, are everybody there? Because God will not do that part for you. So your sanctification, the Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, my brethren, I pray that you will be wholly sanctified in both spirit, soul, and body. So when God speaks a word to you, you have to understand you receive that word in the spirit. Oh, everybody okay? And when you receive that word in the spirit, it is your job to let that word come out. I want you to see something here. When you don't live out that word will pass on. Gifts do not go further than you, but what does go further than you is the word of the Lord spoken over your life, is the mantle upon your life. And while I'm on mantles, let me just speak something quickly here on mantles. Mantles are automatically passed on where there's true sonship. Let me use an example. Like with my father, I never asked him for his mantle. I forgot. Because I didn't think about asking that. I was always, I was thinking many months ago, I must remember, I must ask for his mantle. But I never asked for it. I just got it. Because about a week before he passed to be of the Lord, one morning as I woke up, I felt like a heavy, like a cloak, like I would say it's like a stone on me. And I first thought it was the devil, so I tried to rebuke it, and it didn't move. And so as I got used to it, I said to Shana, I don't know what this is. Can you feel it? And she felt it too. And then we realized a week later when Dad went to be of the Lord, it was actually his mantle that came to us. But we never asked for it. It comes where there's true sonship. You know, I'm thinking back over my own life, and I want to say this tonight. I never dreamed for the pulpit. Ever. I dreamed to serve my dad. Oh, check your own hearts. I never wanted the pulpit. I wanted to serve my dad. And by serving him, God elevated a man to the pulpit. Oh, come on, are you with me? So your service leads you to the mic, not the other way around. Oh, can I have an amen or something? Oh, I know that doesn't mean many people are like, I don't like that. I just want to preach. Well, you can come and get this job for free. I'll give it to you. If you don't have the grace and the anointing for this, this job will kill you. I tell you the truth. It will. It will. You know, as I was praying for my dad as he went into glory, as I was praying for him and as he it was 11 minutes past one, I prayed for my dad, and the Lord said, it's time to pray, and I prayed for him, and as I prayed for him and he slipped into glory, the enemy asked me this question. He says, do you still believe that he can heal? Do you still believe that he's good? Do you still believe he's merciful? Do you still believe he's kind? My response was this: you don't have the right to ask me those questions. You see, that's why I say, never want the pulpit. You don't want it. I tell you the truth. Amen. Okay. Rant over. Next one. First fuel, ablaze with God's word. The more you put this word inside of you, the more the gift inside of you will burn. But you have to swallow this word. A lot of people eat well, especially under COVID. But God has made you, no judgment by the way, but God has made you to feed on the word. Jesus himself said this. He said, my work is to feed myself upon the word of the Lord. My sustenance comes from the spoken, the rhema word of God. Are you guys there? I don't want to preach too long. I want to go short tonight because I want to prophesy and minister. The second fuel, quickly write down, the second fuel that you have to put that, get that gift ablaze is praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, dearly beloved, how does your faith grow unless you pray in the Holy Spirit? So every time you pray in God's Spirit, you fan into flame the gift that is inside of you. Oh, come on. And why am I talking about the gift? Because God wants to restore you to you. Because you must make up your mind, it's not over. Oh, do you know what Moses asked God for? You and I have? We have the glory. Today people say, no, God, all the glory to you. No, he gave you the glory. Oh, come on, are you with me? John 18, Jesus says, Father, I give them my glory. Even before the world you have given unto me, I give it to them. So you want to know how God's glory looks like? Here it sits, online with us tonight. That's the glory of God. Oh. So the more you pray, listen, this is what the devil will do. The more you pray, this is how prayer in the Spirit works. When you pray in the Spirit, you will reach a wall. That is called a dimension of prayer. And maybe nobody has ever taught you on the spiritual prayer, but when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you have to pray effective. And most people don't understand this about praying in the Spirit, but when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you'll find that there's certain places where God, He watches if you're serious with Him. I don't know why he does it. I preached a sermon many years ago, seek and you shall find, you know, because God goes and hides himself. And he comes and look who comes after him. So when you hit the wall, it just means he wants to promote you. And what you need to do, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be. So many people are like on the 99th knock. And then they give up. No, knock again. And knock again. And knock again. Because Jesus said that if you keep on knocking, you'll irritate and then they'll open it. Okay. Persistence breaks the wall open. Ah, are you with me? A little drop creates a big river. Then another fuel is worship. It's worship. Another fuel is generosity. All scriptural, 1 John 3, 16-17. One of the greatest fuels that the body of Christ don't understand completely is humility. Humility fuels your gift. Then it's number six. Then the fear of the Lord fuels the gift. Because if a man fears man above God, he's not qualified to lead in the name of God. Then the greatest thing that I wanted to speak about tonight is the motivation of why you want your gift to surface. What is the purpose and the motive of your gift? The purpose and the motive of who you are and what you carry is people. It's all about people. And from the start, we need to finalize this, because tonight I'm going to ask God to put fresh fire upon your gifts. But you need to make up your mind it's about people. Oh, come on. Are you there? And if you make people your goal, if you make souls your unction, God will bring fire back to the gift. God is very merciful and He's extremely gracious. He's very merciful and extremely gracious. However, the Bible says His Spirit will not tarry always with man. What does that mean? It means God gives us a chance. Sorry, my voice going through puberty there, but God gives us a chance. Are you there? And so as you receive the Lord's opportunities, you have to seize them. You have to snatch them. But your motivation on anything, it needs to be pure love for people. When you love people, God will be at your backs all the time. Are you guys there? You know, I was thinking about it this afternoon. Today we are doing our 153rd live session this year, like now. I'm preaching my 153rd session. Or we're doing 153 sessions. And that's not including all the other stuff we've been doing this year. Zoom, and I feel zoomed out, by the way. Zoomed and Skypes and all that. You know, we've done everything. But if I think about the amounts of stuff that we've done this year, we've preached more than this year than ever before. And whatever the motivation has been, my greatest ambition and your greatest ambition should be people. Are you with me? Because I promise you this, that God wants to get that gift and He wants to baptize it back into the fire. As I thought about this, the Lord took me to Revelation chapter number 1, and I just want to speak about this just for a second. Something about a fire is this, that the fire... Let me read for you, and then I want to throw this word at you, and I want to, and like I say, I want to bend it so that it's, let me not use the word bent, I don't want emails. Revelation chapter number 1, I want to give you the scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 14, and his head were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. And what it speaks here about is that Jesus' eyes was not like fire. Jesus' eyes was mesmerizing. Because when you look in a fire dances. Are you there? So John the beloved disciple says this, when I looked at his eyes, he mesmerized me, because he carried something that was inside of him. And may I say again, it's time for us, the church, that people around us will recognize, without speaking a word, that these people have something different about them. Oh, come on. There must be something different about us. We are carriers of the Almighty. Think about that statement just for a moment. You are carriers of the presence, carriers of the power, carriers of divine dignity, carriers of royalty. Everything you are is designed to rule. Oh, come on, guys online, throw me some fire emojis there, if you will. And what I want to get to tonight is this, is that I felt the Lord say to me that it's time for the body of Christ to get back into the fire. Oh, come on, do I have some support here? Come on, let your amen be greater than your past. Amen. Let me throw just this. I just want to go to one scripture here. When you understand that his your gift functions best in the fire, you must understand something, that when you take yourself outside of the seven flames, you can never blame other people for the lack that you carry. No, you've removed yourself. You have to put yourself back in and you can take yourself out. Are you there? Nothing is beyond the restoration power of God. And that's why we've had this conference, because, you know, I can tell you the things in the world, one or two things aren't going to happen, and it's going to go get worse. It's not going to get better. I'm sorry, but it's going to get worse, but the church must shine brighter. There's something about stars. Stars are created to function in the darkness. And so, as the world goes weird and will continue to do so, the church must get brighter and brighter and brighter. And I don't know about you, but I'm right about now, I'm at that place where I say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. We have got time left, but we have to unite in the gifts and the call and the assignment that God has placed upon our lives. Because no man can do it by themselves, but together, together we can stand. You see, God never calls a man or a woman with the woman and the man in mind. No, he calls a man and he calls a woman so that they can raise up other men and other women with more fervency, with more passion, with more fire. That's why, now I don't know about you, but I believe that in this night that there is some Davids in this house. They don't get invited to meetings. However, God does invite you. It's interesting that when David killed Goliath, and I'll land of one or two of these things, when David killed Goliath, he never killed Goliath's brothers. And he could have. He had enough grace and enough anointing upon his life. Because I want you to note that when he takes up the five stones, he literally takes up a stone for every brother. Come on. Number five is the number grace. So he takes up enough grace to take all of them out. But God only allows him to take out Goliath. Why? Because he will go and find another group of people that will be called the mighty men of David. And he will impart to them his spirit. And they will kill the Goliaths. In this night, that's what I want to get right. I want to impart to you the ability to rise. And that you might become a giant slayer. That you might be able to kill off the enemy in your own life. And you know, to kill off the enemy is about 30 centimeters from here to there. All that God wants is truthful repentance. It's a 30-second thing. You see what Satan does? Satan tells people, you can't get out. No, you can. It's just 30 centimeters from there to there. Okay, for me a bit longer, but 40 centimeters. And you can get out. It resets. Oh, are you guys with me? And what I feel tonight, I didn't switch that. Let's push it. What I feel tonight is God wants to put you back into the fire. And all you need to do, this is the awesome thing about a person that's light on fire. All you need to do is burn. The world is designed to come to your light. That's why the Bible says that a great light has shone out of Nazareth. Why? The world was in darkness. What was it about Jesus? Let me say it like this. What was it about Jesus? Do you know that Jesus was born in a gypsy town? In other words, he was born in Nazareth. Nazareth was a gypsy town, a place full of caravans, and was a cheap place. But Jesus' father, Joseph, worked in one of the most expensive places round about Nazareth. But this man, Jesus, grows up. I wanted just to sketch you the Lord here for a moment. If you read the Vulgate's reports, if you read about the Lord, you'll find that he led a life that people couldn't explain him. Yet when he spoke as the last authority on everything. Here comes a young man, 30 years of age. He's a carpenter by trade. He's been obedient to his mom and his dad all of his life. Suddenly he comes upon and he walks the earth and he calls himself the Son of Man, and men calls him the Son of God. He chooses 12 people that most of us, you know the story, will not choose unless you want to infiltrate the world of vagabonds. Unless you didn't come for the perfect, unless you came for the broken. He chooses 12 people that are washed out. This is the story of our Creator. 12 people that are washed out. They didn't make the grade. They were not clever enough by Jewish studies. They were not clever enough to do anything. So they all went and go on and did what their dads did, because that was the Jewish law of the hour. Washed out, but chosen. Here comes a man, 30 years of age. He walks down a beach. He calls his first two people, say, come and follow me. And they are crazy enough to leave all that they have, keep a back door open and follow him. Because Peter, James, and John, by the way, they kept the back door open. Then he walks from there. He chooses a tax collector that the people didn't like very much. He chooses Sarge. He walks on. And every time he chooses somebody else, the selection becomes radical. Eventually, he will call a murderer to write 2/3 of his Bible. And it doesn't make sense, does it? Unless the story has always been about God placing gifts in people so that normal human beings can save through the power of God, can save other people through His might. Maybe it's not a story of perfection and stages and performance and how we dress and how we do this and how we do that. Maybe this is all about a God that's crazy, ridiculously in love of His people, and He will choose whoever He wants, however He wants, however He can, to save and heal and restore and bring back to life. Maybe it's about you not giving up on your dream, and maybe it's about you pushing yourself up in that 12th round and say, hey, with my God, I can jump this wall. With my God, I can storm this army. With my God. Come on. Is there some Lazaruses here that have been waiting for the fourth day? It might be late, but it's never too late. Or maybe you're like Jonah. You're sitting under a tree. You don't like it when God speaks to you. Like, God, kill these people, please. I felt like that many times. Kill these people. Jesus says, Jonah sits, he's angry at God. God lets a worm kill his shade. God is so cool, he'll take your shade. He says, no, Jonah, they are repenting. And because they are repenting, go and save them. Come on. Samson lies and rots. But God shows up, calls him a hero. Crazy story. God selects Mary. And by the way, just for all the ladies here, Jesus' ministry was financed by women. True story. There were such successful ladies around Jesus that they financed him. So, how's that for the ladies? God wants you so successful that you'll finance the kingdom all by yourself. Oh, that's a word for someone. Who wants to snatch that? Because think about it, Mary, she doesn't make sense, yet she walks out. There's something about a prostitute that you have to give credit to. They have got nothing to lose. She comes in, she breaks the oil. She says, I choose you. What she didn't understand or didn't know, that long before she chose the Lord, He chose her. Oh. And so in this night, let me not preach too much. Let me in this night just say this to you, that there's a message from heaven and it's still out. And this message from heaven is in for you and in for me. And this message from heaven is calling the scandalous. And I don't know about you, but this is the message that I want to leave you with tonight, is saying this, that God does not want the perfect. He doesn't want the religiously right. He wants those that will admit their own scars, their own shortcomings, and their own shame. And it's when you admit all things that He says, I can put my power on that. I was telling some of our friends, I was studying them when I grew up, my dad, he gave me the Bible. He says, go and read. Go and read, son, because there's three things nobody can take from you: the Word, prayer, and the Spirit. Read, study, listen, and live. He said it many times. Read, study, listen, and live. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, as you study His ways, as you listen to His voice, not some other demonic voice, because even Satan can appear as an angel of light. And woe unto the people that speak on behalf of God and do not represent Him well. Because I tell you, many will they be in this hour. But there has to be consistency and fruit. We've been serving the Lord from 1982 in this place. It's 38 years of consistency. It's a generation. We've been here for a generation. My dad started here in 1982. 2020, a generation passed, we're still here. I don't know about someone, but I know about this, that don't tell me you've been around the block for a year or two. 5 years, shame. 10 years, I don't mean that arrogant. No, have you been around for a generation? Come on, have you paid the price? Have you gone through loneliness? Have you gone through the sting of betrayal? Have you gone through death? We've gone through all of the above. I can tick all of them. And can you still say, God is good? Come on, empower. Come on. If you realize that you are the most powerful thing that walks the earth, you will start praying much more bigger prayers that will keep you uncomfortable at night. If you walk and wherever you go and say, Lord Jesus, I claim this place that I walk. I claim this place that my feet now trods. If you start to walk around in your neighborhood and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every principality. I bind every power. I bind every wickedness. As my feet goes, Father, I claim this, I claim that, I claim this, I claim that. God is waiting for you to open up your mouth and say something. Come on, stop being afraid, Christians. Be brave and courageous, for that's who you are. We have been taught too long to be locked in. No, walk the streets. Walk the streets. Claim it. I remember as a boy, I will sit with my dad, we'll drive around the city. He will pray. He'll say, God, give me the city. I'll be small with him. He claims the city. I can't tell you how many times we did that. We'll drive the suburbs. He'll say, it's ours. Sounds crazy. Unless God doesn't think it's crazy. Come on, how big is God for you? Come on, how big are your God? I think, and I'm going to close with this. I think massive God, small devil. Oh, come on. Are you with me? As we start to do this, as you start, you will see inside of you, the gifts will start to rumble and shake. And as Aiden just sang before he broke our keyboards, it's this. Is that, I'm teasing. It's time for the bones to come alive again. But you cannot run away from the call of God upon your life. Paul tried that. It didn't work out. Are you there? And so I want to pray tonight, and this is how I want to pray. I want to pray as you pray and as you say, with my faith, I'm taking back the call of God upon my life. I'm taking back the gift of God upon my life. I'm taking back the assignment of God upon my life. Come on, are you guys there? Are you with me? Everybody online, won't you talk back to me just for a moment? I'm watching you. Tell me online, guys, as you guys watch online, are you taking it back this moment? Just say to me, it's me, it's me. Everybody inside here in this building tonight, yes, I want to leave you with this thought before I minister. In the Old Testament, he leaves the Holy of Holies only for a select few. And even then, they can make it in just. The Son of Man comes as the temple. And as he comes as the temple, his first order of business, because he's not the first raised, he's the firstborn. His first order of business is to rip the temple open so that normal men and women can come into the holies of holies. But listen, over a period of time, we have started to take this as cheap. Oh, and the fear of the Lord must return back to the hearts of His people. Because we are not dealing with an unholy God. We are dealing with a God that's holy by nature and good in all of His attributes. So, just because He hasn't judged yet, doesn't mean He approves. And just because you have time left, literally just means He is giving you grace. Oh, are you there? He's giving you grace to turn back to Him. And this night I'm calling to you to remember the gift that is inside of you. And maybe I could say it like this tonight, and well, I hope this makes sense for everybody that is here. When you know what your gift is, you can become an expert. You must never become somebody else's gift. It must be your gift. In other words, if you know your gift, you can know your grace. If you know your grace, you can develop your anointing or in the anointing. But if you don't know your gift, you will try to put another man's armor on you. And another man's armor will take you out. Are you there? Let me say it like this. In this day and age that we are in now, it's so properly democratic that people are trying to put other people's gifts on them. It's not what God called you to do. As I stand here, I can tell you, my greatest gift is to be a teacher. My second gift is to be prophetic. And my third gift is to be pastoral. How do I know? He told me. So, but it's sometimes we want to reverse the orders because man likes it the other way around. Come on, are you with me? So my job in this church is to teach you prophetically what is to come and then to take you back to the Word. Oh, come on, that's my assignment. That's why I'm here. But we can never turn the giftings around. Because if you do, you're going to elevate your own persecution above the measure of your grace. Okay, that I've just said is going to take 5 years to understand. But Never run onto a battlefield that you are not equipped for. Because you will die by your own ambition. No, let Him say it. Oh, come on, are you with me? Let me end of that. When God says it, He'll pay for it. When God says it, He gives it to you. When God says it, it is already yours. When He has said it, it is yours. If God says you'll be successful, it is finished. If God says, I've called you, nothing can stop that. If God says, I've selected you, no man can come against that. But God has to say. When God says you can be violently, in the sense of progressive in your call and your purpose and the assignment that God has placed upon your life, you can say, yes, Lord, it will be so. Why? He said. Are you there? So I want us, everybody that's in online tonight, throw me some emojis. And everybody inside here, I want us to stand, and then I'm going to start to give you words. I want us to stand. And as you stand tonight, I want you to have a desire in your own heart. And that is to burn ablaze again. Oh, come on, are you with me? Worship team, come. Won't you lift your hands, every person that's inside you? I want you to make a pact with God in this night. Come on. There's many of you, I see you like cobwebs in the spirit. It is time to rub off the cobwebs. To shake it off. So Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Most High God, in this night, Father, as I see people commenting, Father, on Facebook and commenting on YouTube and everywhere, Father, and everybody inside you, Father, we call back. Oh, we call back. We call back the call upon our lives in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, and firstly and foremost, we want to echo the words of Jesus. We repent of our sins, Lord. We repent of the ill. We repent of the wrong. We repent, Father, of things that we have done, Lord, willingly or unwillingly, by omission or omission. Father, I pray this night, Lord Jesus, that You'll be merciful. Father, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. But Father, right now and this evening, I pray across this auditorium, Father, that You'll light a flame again. The gifts that is inside every person. Father, I pray, let the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers and the pastors and the apostles, let them arise. Father, I pray for gifts of administration, gifts of healing. For as I name them and You want them, ask the Lord, gifts of healing, gifts of administration, gift of knowledge, gift of the interpretation of tongues, gift of tongues, gift of wisdom, gift of finances, which is called encouragement in your Bible, gift of miracles, gift of faith. Father, I pray across this room, unleash gifts in this night. Lord, that once again Your people will be flooded with gifts. Lord, I pray for a revelation of the gifts of God in this night. And Father, I thank You that in the name of Jesus Christ, that Father, that right now, pray this prayer with me. Guys online, pray this prayer. Everybody inside, pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, fan into flame the gift that is inside of me. Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask You to release unto me gifts in this night. Baptize me afresh. Fill me anew, that I may become a vessel for Your glory. Shine through me. Live through me. So that Jesus Christ may be magnified in my life. Father, I forsake all for the call and the purpose and the assignment that You've placed upon my life. I thank You, God. I thank You, God. I thank You, God, that in this night a change occurs. In Jesus' name, I shake off every alternative voice. I grab hold of that you've placed upon my life. And I thank you, God, that in this night, I put my hand to the plow. I will not let my hand off your plow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise. Oh, come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. Come on, come on, come on.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.